Can I ask you please to turn with me again to that portion of scripture that Dr. Douglas read with us earlier from Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And it's just the last little part of verse 12. And the word of verse 13 that we want to consider for the time that is before us this morning. The end of verse 12, we read these words, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Let's just stir our hearts again in God's presence as we come to his precious word. Father in heaven, we come now to handle the word of God. And, O God, we feel our sense once again of our weakness. And therefore, O God, we ask for thy help. Lord, we pray that you'll make the words of Scripture live in our hearts. We pray, O God, you'll speak to every heart out of thy precious word. Speak to my heart. Give me help, O God, I pray, as we would seek to break the bread of life. Give the Spirit of God to rest upon us, we pray. Lord, we pray that you'll open the eyes and open the understanding of each one of us today as we would read the Scriptures, as we look into thy word. We pray, O God, you'll come and be our teacher. Come and be our guide. Help us to preach. Help us to hear, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Not for the first time, the Apostle Paul finds himself locked in a prison cell. But he's not there for crimes against humanity, but rather he is there for the cause of Jesus Christ. He has been arrested in Jerusalem, and then he's brought to Rome in order to appear before Caesar with the charge of preaching the gospel. And yet, while locked away in a Roman jail, Paul redeems the time because it is as a prisoner that he writes this letter to the church at Philippi. Throughout this book, we find references to Paul being in bonds, which gives us an idea of the situation that he found himself in that prison. The church at Philippi was very dear to his heart, a church which had been generous and kind to him, a church which he was instrumental in forming some years previous. Philippi was the first city on the European continent to be reached with the gospel. And it's interesting that Paul is now imprisoned, was also imprisoned in that city as well because of his preaching. And so once again as a prisoner, this time in Rome, Paul pens this letter to the Philippian believers. The overriding theme of this little epistle is that of joy or rejoicing, which, given that it is written from a prison cell, is all the more remarkable. But you see, Paul goes further in this letter and shows us how we may rejoice in the Lord, how that in spite of our circumstances, we can joy in Christ. And in so doing, he brings before us the practical aspects of salvation, of what salvation can and must do in the life of the child of God. You see, folks, today our salvation, if we're saved by God's grace, it's not to be stagnant. That change which God works in us, the moment we are saved, then needs to be lived out. It needs to be worked out in our lives. The deep-seated joy in the heart of every Christian is to be put on display. It is to be lived out and to be practiced. That inward work is therefore to be outworked. And that is the thought here in these verses, the end of verse 12 and verse 13, as we consider the subject for this morning, the outworking of salvation. The outworking of salvation. The first thing I want you to see here with me is the activity involved. The activity involved. At the end of verse 12, the apostle tells us, "Work out your own salvation." It very clearly here indicates an activity, something which we are to be involved in, something which we are to be engaged in. But what exactly is the apostle teaching? As we consider this activity, I want you to see the meaning of it. What does it mean to work out your own salvation? It's vital here that we clarify this point, because this verse has been the source of so much wrong teaching on the subject of salvation. Paul is not saying here, work for your own salvation. He's not saying that by your works you can gain salvation. Salvation is not of works. Salvation is all of grace. And can I say to anyone here today without Christ, we thank you for coming to the house of God and for your faithful attendance to the public worship services here. But folks, remember that it doesn't matter how often you come through the doors of this church or any other church, it will never be enough to merit you salvation. There are people today going to churches, and that's all they have to depend on. That's their only hope beyond the grave. It's their church attendance. But it'll not be enough. Works will never save you. You can never gain salvation by your works, and that is not what Paul is saying here. Make no mistake about it. No matter how faithful you are to this church or to any other church, it won't save you. You must, in faith and repentance, come to Jesus Christ and trust Him and Him alone for salvation. Paul is writing here to those who are already saved. Those who are already in Christ. He opens the letter to all the saints in Christ Jesus. What is a saint? You, I'm sure, like I, were intrigued this week. Well, we shouldn't really be intrigued. When the current Pope announced that on a certain date in April next year, the two past popes are going to be made a saint. Well, I'm glad today that the moment of my conversion, I was made a saint. It's not at some time in the future. It's not at some particular date way up ahead. But as a child of 7, when I asked the Lord into my heart, I was made a saint. Now, I know I don't live like it every day. But I thank God within my heart, I know I belong to Christ. He is writing to those who are in Christ. A saint is literally a holy one. One who is separated from sin and set apart unto God. Therefore, he's coming to this matter of salvation to those who are in Christ. This term, work out, it means to work thoroughly or to work to full completion. It means that the finished product, it's not reached. There's more to be done. And child of God today, we're not saved to sit idly by as a passenger on the way to heaven. We are to be active. We are to be working. There is something that we need to be doing. You see, that seed of new life that has been implanted within the child of God, it needs to grow. That seed needs work in order for it to grow and to develop. The gardener who'll go out and sow seeds in the vegetable patch. Well, those seeds need to be attended to. He needs to water the seed. He needs to pull up the thistles and the weeds that will grow up and choke the seed. He needs to break up the ground. It needs work. And that's what is in view here. The Christian needs to be working. The Christian needs to be active. But what are we to be working at? What are we to be active in? That brings us then to the matter of this activity. It says your own salvation. The matter that is to be worked out is salvation. Salvation is that comprehensive term that's used to describe the complete deliverance that God works in His people.
Our salvation is grounded in that once and for all act when we by faith receive Jesus Christ, when we are made right before God. But there's more to salvation than being saved, because that work in us then needs to be worked out. That brings us then to the matter of sanctification, which follows on from being saved. That's what's in view here. This progressive, this ongoing work. As the Shorter Catechism tells us, that work whereby we are enabled more and more to die unto sin, to live unto righteousness. That's what we're to work at. Dying to sin, living to God. It has to do with the battle with and the victory over indwelling sin every day. Oh, Christian, do we not feel the power of the devil every day? Do we not feel that the devil's out to bring us down and to destroy us, to ruin our testimony? And those sins, those besetting sins, whatever it may be, we're to work at dying to such. And we are to work to living unto God. We have a faith. Then work that faith out. Let our whole life, let our whole character and our whole conduct radiate Christ. Show to the world, child of God, that we belong to Him. May we not be ashamed to be called a Christian. May we not be ashamed, despite the ridicule that we may suffer, to take our stand with God, how hard it may be. Notice Paul qualifies this work by the use of your own salvation. You see, it's very easy to see what others need to do. It's very easy to point the finger at other Christians and say, well, they would need to be doing this and they would need to be doing that. No, we need to work out our own salvation. Someone has said that it's easier to cry against 1,000 sins of others than to kill one of your own. And as we seek to die to sin and to live to righteousness, then we identify ourselves with Christ and His work at the cross. Because at the cross He died once to sin. Romans 6 and verse 10 says, for in that He died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. He died to sin, he lived to God in his great work of redemption, and he gained the victory. And today, as we seek to work out our own salvation, we stand by faith in his great victory. And you know, the more we grasp of that truth, the more we will die to sin, and the more we will live unto righteousness. It's not only the matter of this activity and the meaning, but I want you to see as well the maintaining of it. The maintaining of this activity. Because you see, the sense of these words work out. It is a continual thing. It is an ongoing maintaining of this work. Keep on working. Keep on dying to sin. Keep on living to God. You know, it's not about running well for a little time and then thinking, well, that's enough, and giving up. The apostle himself said, I die daily. I die daily. He put to death the desires of the flesh every day. He realized every day there's a conflict. There's a battle to be fought. Christian, every day, as I've said, the devil is out to destroy us. The devil is out to bring us down. Therefore, every day we must maintain this work. Live for God. A young lady who had recently got saved was asked by a particular man in her church the question, what change has salvation made in your life? She said, when I was a sinner, I was running after sin. But now that I'm saved, I'm running from sin. Running from sin. We're still active, still busy, and that needs to be the activity in which we're involved in dying to sin and living to God, fleeing from the devil. The activity involved, but I want you to see further with me here, the attitude implored. the attitude implored. How are we to approach this great task of working out our own salvation? Look at the end of verse 12. With fear and trembling. As we work out our salvation, here's the attitude, with fear and trembling. Now, this is not some sort of slavish fear that results in self-torment of losing our salvation. No, if we're in Christ, we'll never lose our salvation. If we're saved, we're always saved. And yes, we'll fall on that way to heaven, but praise God, we'll never fall off it. No, the type of fear that's in view here is of a holy reverence and a holy respect for God. A sense of the great seriousness of the entire matter. That fear that we are to have is a fear of offending by what we do or by what we say, the fear of offending a holy God. A respect for God that will cause us to fear offending Him, will cause us to fear causing Him grief. The one who has made us, the one who has saved us, the one who provides for our every need, we ought to have that desire in all that we do and in all that we say, that we please Him. We please Him. As the children of God, do we have this reverential fear for Him? Do we fear offending God by our actions and by our attitude? Or do we have just this attitude, well, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how I live. I can do what I want. I'm saved and that's enough. It does matter how we live. It does matter what we do. Because when we live in our lives in opposition to what God desires of us, then it shows that we have no fear of offending a holy God. We are to fear, we are to tremble. Remember, we are not our own. We are bought with a price. And as we work out our salvation, may we seek to please Him. May we seek to bring glory and honor to Him. The activity involved, the attitude implored. But I want you to see further with me here the ability indicated. Verse 13. It is God which worketh in you. It is God which worketh in you. We are to work out our own salvation. We are to do so with fear and trembling. But dear child of God, here's the indication of the ability with which we can pursue our holy living. What is it? It's that God is working in us. What an amazing thing that even though those times when we feel Him and those times when we let Him down, God is still working in us. Moulding us and making us into those people that He wants us to be. Oh, we must acknowledge that we cannot, we dare not seek to live for God in our own strength. We have no ability of ourselves to overcome the devil. We have no ability in and of ourselves to overcome temptation and to live for God. Thank God He worked in us and He saved us. But praise His name, He didn't leave us to live the Christian life in our own strength. He continues and keeps on working in us by His Holy Spirit. Notice the power of this ability. The word worketh there. It has a different meaning to the word in verse 12. Because here in verse 13, it speaks of a power, speaks of an energy. In fact, the original word for work is where we get our English word energy from. It's God who energizes us to live the Christian life. It's God who invigorates us to live for Him. It is He who gives us the power and the ability And they needed grace and strength to die every day to sin and to live every day to God. Child of God, here's the ability for the activity which we are commanded to be involved in. You feel your weakness. Oh yes, you understand that you need to live unto God. You need to do those things that please Him. But you feel you can't do it. Well, here's the promise of power that's needed. The promise to work out our own salvation. Here is sufficient help to live for God above the world and sin. Here's the energy to help you to carry on the divine command to live out, to work out your own salvation. Mr. Spurgeon said, there is a living well springing up within you. Use the bucket then. Keep on drawing. You'll never exhaust it. Cease not to work it out. And no matter how much you've drawn from the resources of God, thank God, they're endless. You keep on drawing and you'll find more power. As you live for God in this week that lies ahead, as you live the Christian life, and you feel your weakness, and you feel you can't do it, draw on the resources that God has already promised, the promise of His power through His Spirit. The power of this ability, but I want you to see as well the purpose of it. Why is this power given to us? Yes, it's to work out our own salvation, but there is a purpose. At the end of verse 13, we have those words of His good pleasure. God's pleasure is God's will for His people. Now, I know that God has a specific will for every one of His children concerning where they are to live, what they are to do, either serve the Lord in the workplace, in the school, or in the mission field, or in the ministry, whatever. But God also has an overriding purpose for His people. And it is that we would be a people set apart for Him. That we would be a people sanctified unto Him. What is God's good pleasure for our lives? It is that we would be more like Christ. That we would show to the world that we belong to Him. That we would show to the world Christ in us. I wonder in those we have met this week, and those we've had company with this week, have they seen Christ in us? By what we have done and what we have said, did they see something of our Savior? And then there is the proof of this ability. God works in us. He gives us the power to fulfill His purpose. But this ability is proved in verse 13 by the desires that we have. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will. Do you know those desires that we have after godliness? Those desires that we have to please God, to live for Him? They're given to us by God. The resolution to be done with sin and to live unto God, it's all of Him. And that's the proof that He's working in us, that we desire such living before Him. It's also proved in our determination, both to will and to do. God works in us the determination to do what He wants us to do, to carry out that desire that He has planted within us. If we'll be encouraged, but Christian today also be challenged that God works in us to enable us what He wants us to do. As the children of God, we are exhorted to work out, to live out, to bring out that work which has been wrought in us inwardly by the Holy Spirit. There is an activity in which we are to be involved in, something which we are to be engaged in. And I say again to those who are here without Christ, don't think that you can work for your salvation. There's one thing that has been impressed upon my mind over these past number of years as we've run around so many different congregations, is that there are people who come and go from a Free Presbyterian church and they think that's enough. I go to a church that preaches the gospel. I go to a church that believes God is the creator of this world, that God inspired His holy word, and that's enough. It's not. You see of today, of this salvation of which we're speaking, do you have it? Has there been that time in your life, that point in your life experience when by faith you trusted Him? And you were done with your sin. And you were done with your good living and all those things that you thought were sufficient. And you just trusted Christ. If not, then I pray that today you will. Maybe today you're living a facade and you think all around, everybody around you thinks you're saved and everything's all right, but you know deep down in your heart you're not right with God. You know you're not saved. You know there's something more needs to be done in your life. Oh, listen today. Don't live a lie anymore. Get right with God. Be saved today. Christian, we who are saved and have the joy of God's salvation within us, may God help us to work out that salvation, to put our lives on show for Christ. And what we do and what we say, may others see the Savior within us. How are we to approach this task? With fear and trembling. Oh, for a greater dose of the fear of God, the Holy Spirit. Realize the one to whom we are serving, that He is the Holy One. May we have such a reverential fear for God which trembles at the very thought of offending Him. Thank God we're not left to our own devices, we're not left to our own resources. Because here's the indication of the ability, God, the Holy Spirit, God's working in us. And may God work in us and may God work through us. The enablement, the ability to live for Him. May we pray to God every day to help us to work out our own salvation. To get down on our knees before Almighty God and realize, I can't live for Thee in my own strength this day. I need Your help. And He has promised to give it. He has promised to supply that power. You feel your weakness, and you feel you can't live the Christian life, get before God like never before and ask Him for that help that He has promised. May we strive by God's help to live out, to work out our own salvation every day. Show to this world that He's a Savior worth serving. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you. May God be pleased to bless His precious word to our hearts today. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We praise Thee, O God, for the living truth of Scripture. And we thank Thee, O Lord, for the challenge, It often comes to us as we read the Scriptures. We pray, O God, that for every child of God in this place today, you'll give us that help as we seek to work out our own salvation, as we seek to live for God in this world in which we live. Lord, we freely acknowledge we can't do it ourselves, but Lord, we thank thee that you've promised to work in us. And we pray, Lord, to a greater degree that you'll work in us even in this week that lies ahead in thy will. Lord, help us to die to sin more and more. Help us to live unto God more and more. Lord, we pray that you'll just help us in everything that we seek to do. May we have that desire to please him. Lord, for those who are here without thee, and Lord, the sin has blinded them to think that their attendance at this church, their good loving, their association, their relatives that are saved, that in some way that's sufficient. Lord, open their eyes to see that they need to come and trust thee for themselves. May the joy of thy salvation be given to them today. Grant those gifts of faith and repentance. Help sinners to trust thee and to turn from their sin and wholly and simply ask thee into their heart. Lord, we pray that you'll bless thy word to our hearts today. Part us now with thy blessing. May the presence of God rest, remain, and abide upon us throughout this day. Keep us in the Spirit, we pray. And all the activities and all the preaching in this house, this Lord's Day, we pray, O God, it'll be owned and used of thee. Hear and answer prayer, and go with us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.